This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 183, Sex and Probing.
That's my kind of game.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
For gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
How you doing, people? It's another lovely week of snow.
Well, where Ninja is anyway.
Yes. The snowpocalypse. It is upon me.
And your else is upon us? Well, would have been by the time you watch, listen to the show. The Super Bowl! So congratulations, team insert whichever.
Yes, you played your heart out.
Yeah, especially in that last quarter, man. You know what I'm talking about.
And I'm very happy for your team, unless you are Indianapolis, at which point you can suck my balls.
Hey. Hey.
But that's how I feel. Peyton Manning is not the second coming of Jesus at quarterback. There, I've said it. Oh. All right, let's move on. Let's actually get into, game stuff, like the things that you can read on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce it to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, or you can listen to some other great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. We're not the only ones here who have mics and, bandwidth. King Baby Duck over at BostonBastardBrigade.com helms a great podcast that comes out every Tuesday. Those bastard wenches over there, mostly bastards. It's kind of a sausage fest right now, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with sausage.
I like sausage.
I also like the stuff that they have to talk about. It's a very unique kind of podcast. So you want to check those guys out every Tuesday. And then following that up, we've got our own Deuces Wild, who hits you every Wednesday with a new episode of Geek Aggro. Come on! It's got Geek and Aggro in the title. How can you not want to listen?
Potters and daughters are welcome.
You've got to do it.
Bring your health pots.
Yes, what she said. So right there, we get you to Hump Day from Camp ESH. And then on top of that, you can always read the things that we're putting out on the website on a daily basis, as well as follow us and our random weirdness on Twitter. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm twitter.com/ladyesh.
You can also follow twitter.com/king_baby_duck, as well as Deuces Wild at twitter.com/deuceswild, and our boy Vicious Smith at twitter.com/viciousmith.
We make it kind of easy for you.
We try to keep it simple, unless you're drunk, at which point you're going to start following some random people that are not us. But hey, you might luck into something like Shit My Dad Says.
Which is really funny.
Yes. So there you have it. You got us on Twitter. Then we can even check out some of the images that we're taking on our Flickr account, which is just flickr.com/electricsisterhood. We've got videos now. Pandalicious is holding it down right now because I'm a little busy with the project doing videos. But my video is coming, people. There will be stuff. So you can check it out on our YouTube account channel at youtube.com/electricsisterhood. I already see that some of you out there are fanning it. Pass and spread the word. I want this to be viral like the plague, but not as deadly.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty bad.
I want to be like a plague.
But
a good plague of laughter and smiles.
For the dead medieval homies. Just pour a little out for them. So with that, that's pretty much all the stuff that we're up to. We got the Twitter account. Oh, I forgot the Facebook page that Panda is holding down. See, you're just running with this community relations thing. I'm so proud of you.
I'm trying.
I'm so proud of you. I'm going to get the clamp. But you want to make sure that you're checking that out as well. Panda's answering questions over there, as well as posting some new things every Monday. So you can find us on Facebook. You can look for Electric Sisterhood. You can't miss us. And as soon as we get 100 fans, we can actually claim the URL. So help us claim our name on Facebook.
Give us our own land in Facebook.
I need a name and not Moonchild. All right, so moving on from that. And anybody who got that reference, I heart you in my soul case. We got stuff to talk about, people. We got some game set things that have been going on. There's some tech stuff that's been going down. What I'm saying is we got conversating to make happen. Mass Effect 2. If you played Mass Effect 1, then you already were aware that, one, yes, BioWare is awesome.
Yes, BioWare is awesome.
But, two, they're really good at telling the story.
Yes, they are.
It's Mass Effect 1 and 2. It's just massive choose-your-own-adventure. And based on the choices that you make, it affects what your storyline becomes. Not to the degree that I think Heavy Rain is going to do that.
Oh, because can't wait for that.
Heavy Rain
February 24th, yay!
Is its own beast, for sure. But you definitely don't feel like you are linearly pulled through the story. You can spend hours in Mass Effect 2 just running around multiple galaxies and scanning planets for minerals.
And probing them.
Yes, probing them and bereft them of their vital essence.
I like that word, probe.
I kind of figured you would. And so you can spend a lot of time doing that. And sometimes you can pick up a mission that's vital to the story, or you can just run a lot of side story types of quests, very much like your Fable and Fable 2 games, where you can either go after the main points that will progress the story, or you can just run around kicking chickens. That's pretty much what planet raping is in Mass Effect 2. It's
planet rape equals chicken rape.
Chicken kicking. Oh. Not chicken rape. That's a different game.
Well,
there is no chicken rape.
If you kick a chicken in the ass, it's kind of like raping it.
I'm not going there because I don't have anything to say about that. But what I will say is that there are definitely some things that are massively changed from Mass Effect 2 and 1. I think definitely impact the gameplay. So as far as how you scan planets, it's actually more tedious in 2 than in 1. In the first game, you'd kind of roll up to a planet and you hit scan and it'd be like, oh, these are the minerals. And then you'd just be like, okay, great. You could either read the information about the planet or move on. I don't think I ever read any of the information about a planet. And I'm still not doing it. But now you actually have to scan and move around a planet. And so it shows off the power of the game because the planets are a lot more detailed than previously. And you now actually have to, at least for the planets that are rich in minerals, spend time really searching the entire effing planet looking for the
scouring its vast valleys and mountains and crevices and caves and shit.
Why does everything sound so dirty when you say it?
Because it is.
Here's the thing, though. You really do need to scout for some minerals because minerals are going to be the type of currency that you use drastically to upgrade your weapons. So while the currency that you will earn, the credits basically, at the end of missions that you run will be your major currency for buying new weapons and buying gas to, you know, pretty much roll around the galaxies. As far as upgrading those weapons that you purchase to either have their ammunition do more damage or take on elemental attacks and build those things up, that all comes out of your mineral pockets. So you definitely want to spend some time doing that search. And you didn't really have to do that the first go-round in the first game. So it does dramatically change, you know, do you really want to take the time to kind of make the baddest-ass army you possibly can, meaning the heaviest weapon, shotgun, the fastest reloading sniper rifle, then you're really going to have to spend some time checking out the planets and the galaxies.
That's it. I'm buying this game tomorrow. I want to probe planets.
Okay. So you also, just like in the first game, you get the choice of deciding whether or not your character is a dude or a chick.
Right.
This is very important. And here's why.
Sex.
Exactly. So if you haven't finished the game, I'm going to let you know right now. I, Ninja Sister, not Pandalicious.
Nope, not me.
Ninja Sister, I'm going to spoil the shit out of most of this game. I'm not going to spoil the end because I haven't finished it, but I'm going to spoil the shit out of most of this game, and it starts with the sex thing.
So warning, if you do not want to hear this, you want it to be a surprise.
Turn this episode off right
now. We are telling you right now.
I won't feel bad. My feelings won't get hurt. Turn it off now.
I'm not taking the heat anymore for spoiling things.
Are you ready? Because here I go. I hope you turned it off. So in the first game, BioWare got a lot of heat off of the sex scene that happened. Panda, are you familiar with what went down on that game?
You told me with your female shepherd with the alien sexage.
Yes. So you basically got to work out a scene that was like at most a minute and a half long. And he didn't really see anything bad. He kind of saw a little bit of a side of like a side boob. But you could write, you know, as we were gearing up for the last battle in which we were either all going to die or save the entire fucking universe. You got to blow off a little scene. Okay, you should...
You gotta fuck.
You do. If you're about to possibly die and or save the universe, or die trying saving the universe, you deserve at least a pity fuck.
You better get your rocks off.
Before you go into that. Okay, so it made sense. And depending upon whether your character was a male or female, you could go after one of three people. Either the alien chick... A female chick, Ashley, or a male guy, Caden. Okay?
Ooh, that's a nice name.
Yeah, so you basically got a dude, a chick, and an alien chick.
Nice.
And you could choose, and you would have to work...
So wait, you can only have sex with one?
Yeah, only have sex with one.
Fuck, in Dragon Age, you can fuck around, because we're hoes in, we're hoes in Dragon Age.
Well, what are you going to do? So anyway...
Man, I like having options. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, and you have options in ME, too. The difference is... Okay, I told you I was going to spoil this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as you're running through the galaxy, just like in the first game, you end up having some humans on your crew. You end up having Garrus on your crew again, who was in the first game, who is a crack shot, definitely worth... gearing him up in the game. You end up with a Krogan again. This time, this one was a test tube baby, but he's pretty badass. And then you also get what's called a sorry Justicar named Samara, who is pretty slamming. Okay, the Asari is the blue race with kind of like the dreadlocky tentacle thing. So they're
like
about as...
blue like Avatar blue?
Lighter than Avatar Blue, but in that same general hue. But as Justicar, she kind of glows, and she uses biotic power, which is basically a kind of force-type power, in that it allows you to push things, pull things, blow them up.
Like a telekinesis?
Kind of, yeah. So you have the ability to use your flat, you know, weapons as far as guns and things like that go. But then you can also have characters on your team that have these biotics. So the thing about making your three-member party is to make sure, depending upon the mission that you're going in for, that you build a very balanced party for the way that you tend to fight as ME.
Like a DPS, a tank, and a healer.
Basically, yes. So it is very RPG-like, but it is
awesome.
All action. Again, nice. The type that I enjoy. The thing about her is, and I warned you I'm spoiling things, she ends up having a daughter, even though she's 400 years old. And by the way, Samara is hot for being 400 years old. Okay?
Does she have big boobies?
She does, and they're almost all the way out most of the time because she kind of wears this very deep V thing that, you know, just kind of skirts the nippleage. So you always are aware of her boobs, and her outfit is skin tight and looks like it's vinyl and sprayed on her body. Yeah. So Samara is hot, but you end up running a mission, and depending upon how many Paragon or how many Renegade points that you have. So the Paragon and the Renegade is how much do you shift towards making positive decisions or negative decisions, very much like in Fable. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? You know,
Paragons in Dragon Age are dwarf ancestor blessed peoples.
Well, that's nice. You're not a dwarf here. But depending on...
No, you're a blue big boob chick.
If you... She's part of your party. You're not her.
Lame.
You could be blue if you wanted to. You're black. Mostly black to Caucasian. Okay, anyway. Samara's daughter, Morinth, is ridiculously hot as well. The thing about Morinth, though, and you actually have a mission where you, with Samara, try to hunt her down to kill her, it's because she's an Ardak Yakshi, which pretty much means that if you fuck her, you'll go insane and die.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, there's a mission where you basically finally pin her down.
And fuck her.
No.
Oh.
In her apartment, and depending upon whether or not you have more Paragon or Renegade or equal Paragon and Renegade points, you get the choice to either kill Morinth or kill Samara. The reason why I bring up sex and I bring this all up is if you leave Morinth live and you kill Samara, Morinth is the only chance you have, if you are a female shepherd, of having sex with a chick. Because unlike the first Emmy game, if you choose to be a female shepherd, your choices for sex are basically, and I want to make sure that I get this right, but basically your choices are Garrus, who was in the first game, and he's the real alien-looking dude that kind of looks like a praying mantis.
Okay.
With his little flaps. Jacob, who I dare any of you to play this game and tell me that Jacob does not look like Kanye West.
I don't want to fuck Kanye West.
He looks like Kanye West.
I don't want to.
He looks like a buff Kanye West, but he looks like Kanye West.
I am not fucking him in my MEC game.
Oh, and the bug guy. His name is Thane.
Fang?
Thane.
Thane?
Yes.
Like T-H-A-N-E?
Yes.
Aw, I'm awesome. I can spell.
Okay. Those are your three options.
So you don't get to do chicks?
No, you do not get to do chicks unless you are a dude shepherd. Then you get to choose between the bald-headed freak tattooed bitch, Jack, Samara, Yeoman Kelly, who is pretty much your assistant, and Miranda, who is the hottest piece of ass, I think, on the ship.
Well, then.
So I'm so disappointed. So
Emmy is not supportive of the man-on-man love bump.
No, or the lady-on-lady love bump.
What the? That's... Well,
no, you can't get it on. It was so upsetting.
That's okay, because in Dragon Age, I can fuck whoever I want.
And it's not even about it being, like, explicit or anything, and I just think we're talking about pixels.
Do you actually get to see Booby?
No.
Because in Dragon Age, you know, you do it with your
pants. No, you don't see boobs. Now, here's...
Lame! Do you see penis?
No, it's not that kind of game. And you did in the first one. If you go on YouTube right now, you can watch all the different options for sex.
You know what? I just might do that with the popcorn.
I know that it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse here. But here's the thing. It was one of those things... And I don't know if it's just because, you know, I'm older and I've experienced some things or not, but I always kind of find, no, seriously, and you can tell me if I'm, like, the only one out there. But when you're playing a game where you're actually going through the story of somebody's existence, okay, you're fighting a war and you're trying to get emotional buy-in from the player in your games like Heavy Rain, where your character and what they're going through is really what they're trying to get across. It makes sense to have some relationship things in there because relationship things are going to happen somewhere along the line. Like, there's no movie that you've ever watched where people are going off to war, which before any big battle, somebody didn't try to find comfort in someone's arms. Okay. Make it sound sweet all you want. It's doing the nasty. Okay?
I hear you.
All right.
I completely agree.
In games like this, it makes sense to me that we're going to allude to and maybe show a little bit and get your mind going in the area that, hey, somebody's going to do the nasty because the world might end here on this next mission.
I mean, hello, Matrix. Okay. They had a whole planet pretty much having an orgy rave party because they knew the world was going to end as they knew it.
And I found it really surprising how much BioWare censored themselves on this game, because even the first batch of alien sexitude that you did really wasn't all that explicit. I mean,
I think it's because when first ME came out, I think I was talking to some of my game friends about this who are big ME fans, you know who you are, had put up such a stink about the first encounters in ME that BioWare began to tone it down because they were supposed to beef it up in Dragon Age, and you know, with all that flame from ME, that's why they put the bras on and the big granny panties. Well, no, they weren't granny panties because you could see ass. But still, so that's because of all the parents out there who are like, my 12-year-old is going to be playing this game and I don't want to.
Well, then you know what? Then maybe you don't let your 12-year-old buy the game.
I know.
I mean, it's that simple. I'm not 12. I can tell the difference between a pixelated boob and a real one.
Really? I have a hard time. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
You know, and so I've thought that the options that are there, and I've watched some of them already on YouTube, mostly the male shepherd ones, you know, they're all real tastefully done, and it's except for the Miranda one, because she kind of like just, you grab her on top of like a console, and then you fling her on the wall for a second, and then you fall down, and she's on top of you, and then she like unzips, and you're like, ooh, sparkly bra. And then the camera moves away, and everybody's done. I mean, it's like a minute and a half. Yeah.
Wait, did he titty fuck her? Is that what he did?
No.
Aim.
I'm telling you, it's really kind of like.
Hello. See, they need to get some ghetto girls up on that.
It's pretty much just
ghetto girls in space.
That is a great idea for a movie, and I've just written that down.
We'll ghetto make that girls in space.
It'll be like, you know, it'll be like fat girls, but in space.
Oh my god!
You know, like BAPS. We'll get Halle Berry in it. BAPS in space. BAPS.
Whoa.
BAPS okay. On the run. Anyway, that movie was so bad. Oh my god. But anyway, I was really surprised by how much they censored themselves. And, you know, they've come out, one of the QA team members, you know, came out and talked about how, you know, they decide, they being BioWare, that they decide what they put out and whether or not they want in their mature game for there to be lots of elements or things or scenes of a mature nature, meeting nudity, sex, and things like that or not. And it's their decision, not anyone else as far as the consumer base or as far as Fox News or anything like that's input. It's all done in
Fox.
But
Fox News. Ow,
I disagree. See, Fox News, it hurts people.
Fox made me bite my tongue.
It's because you're a Democrat. But, you know, the thing is, it's enough of an issue for me to really kind of think about it and want to talk about it, even though it's really only like a minute and 30 seconds of game video. It's not even like you get to make any choices of put hand on left ass cheek, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. You know, it's not like you get to play anything. It's just a little bit of full motion video.
You don't squeeze a butt during sex, you smack it.
Wow. Well,
anyway.
Because I've got other things to talk about. But that's really the only thing that like stands out at all for me about ME2. I mean, it's good. It's solid. It's absolutely what I expected the game to be. It has a lot of characters that emotionally will get to you unless you're, you know, a son of a bitch. It's worth the money for picking up. Just don't expect, you know, the level of sexuality at all.
That you would expect in the situation.
Right. That you got out of the first one.
Well, at least they didn't fuck it all up and you hear the sapping music and then you see like a flower bloom or something. That stuff's fucking good.
No, but the funniest one is the one that I'm going to end up doing because my shepherd is a female. And so my three choices are the bug dude, Thane. Garrus, who is from the first game, and I'll show you an image so you'll know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, please
and,
do.
And then Kanye West looking dude. Well, I skipped Kanye West looking dude. So now I'm down to the two aliens. One's
well,
a pussy.
Wouldn't you be worried that the Kanye West dude would interrupt in the middle and be like, you know what?
Before I'm going to let you finish. But I just want you to know, this is the best pixelated sex I've had ever.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I'd be worried. I'd be very concerned
I'm
about
skipping
that.
Him. So really the only viable option is Garrus, because at least he has a brain in his head and he's a crack shot. But of course, like when you're pursuing him, one of the things that he says is like, yeah, so I don't know how we're going to make this work. I'll do a little research and
get back to you.
Get pretty much. And so that every other time that you go down to engineering and talk to him, he alludes to how excited he's getting about, you know, closer to knowing what to do. But then the video pops up, and it's just so bad and cheesy. Like, he plays really bad music and tries to bring wine, and then it's like, I should have watched the videos, because I don't know.
It's like, what goes where?
Yeah.
Like, how about we try this?
Interspecies lovemaking. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and then the video ends with the two of them just pushing foreheads together. And then that's it!
What?
So you don't even get to see Shepard start to take off her clothes, and you just have to guess. Well, what does Garrus look like naked? Because he's in this big part. I'm just so disappointed. By the way, you disappointed me on this one.
Man, in Dragon Age, people are walking around naked all the time.
Well,
that's because people are getting their clothes and armor stolen, like, all the time. So they're, like, ripped abs everywhere in Dragon Age.
Yeah, but didn't Bioware make Dragon Age?
Yes, which is...
So that's why I'm like, I don't get it. Why did you put all the nakedness over there?
Well, it's not a lot of nakedness. Like, the guys wear white banana hammocks.
Oh, so? I don't even get that.
But I mean, they all get ribbed. They all have, like, abs, even, like, the old dudes. And I'm kind of like, okay, old dudes don't do crunches.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody here evidently fucks in their clothes.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, when the love is happening in Dragon Age, they all, it's really weird. Like, I don't know if you've seen any pictures or not, but one of the mages, Morrigan, who's voiced by the woman who does Chloe in Uncharted 2, mm-hmm. like, her outfit when you first get her is really a bunch of, like, rags conveniently placed in areas. She's not wearing a bra, but when you go to do her, she's wearing this white bra with black lace and panties. I'm like, bitch was not wearing that bra when when we started this
shit. She made it magically appear.
Well, I mean, she's a mage. I mean, she's got magical
abilities.
So
there you go.
And you're kind of like, bitch, I don't need you wearing the bra. I liked you with you when you weren't wearing nothing. Take that off.
Yeah.
And you don't even see it because she gets all on you and you're kind of nervous. And then she blows out a candle. And it's not like you hear any, you know, movement.
Well, because at least in Fable, you like, they turn off all the lights, but you hear stuff.
Yeah, you don't even hear shit.
That's
so you have to imagine it.
Here's the thing. You know what? If you're going to commit and be a mature title, effing commit. I'm not saying, like, whip out the digital schlong or anything like that.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'd want it. No!
I don't want that, but don't wuss out. Don't treat me like a child in a mature game.
And going back to Dragon Age really quick, like, there are a couple of, like, demon or spirits that are female in this game. Like, I don't know if you saw my video or not, but the Desire Demon, like, she wears these golden booby tassels, and she's, like, groping her breasts when she talks to you. And then there's another spirit who's pretty much all naked, and her hair, she's got, like, you know, that weird Japanese, 8-year-old Japanese long black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, covers her nipples, but you see boob. And I'm like, you know, I spent all this time getting familiar with Liliana and Morrigan. And I'm like, and when I go to lay some sweet loving down, I don't get to see their boobs, but I get to see demonic boob and spirit boob. WTF.
Well, you know, like I was saying, don't treat me like a child in a mature game. You know, there are games that are getting ready to come out that I don't think are going to do that. You look at Dante's Inferno, and,
oh my
you know,
God.
Some
his
of the...
His bitch is just like, yep, I got boobs and I'm in hell.
Well, and there are levels that you're going to go through where there's no at all hinting about sex. It's just like, here, this is a giant phallic wall. Here you go.
Climb it.
And
go through the eye. And whispering eye.
Stop it. But that's okay, because it's an adult title, and you know what? I expect that. And you know, 12-year-olds shouldn't play Dante's Inferno. Same thing with God of War 3.
No, 12-year-olds should read Paradise Lost.
Yes, but not play Dante's Inferno, the game.
Or you know, yeah.
Or even look at
or
the
cops.
Yeah, or really. Ugh. But shouldn't. And so I'm disappointed in that. You know, if you're going to be an adult title, not an AO title, because that's just straight out sex. And you know what? If you want that, then
I still have
get
to
that.
Play an actual.
I haven't either. They're really. I think they're almost
they
impossible to find in
that. Well, because the
yeah,
sensors,
what are you gonna do?
The sensors are like nope.
But is it worth it? Absolutely. It you should, if you enjoy action titles at all and you're looking for a good story, Mass Effect 2 is absolutely worth owning. I'm not even going to say rental. It's worth owning. It's a
yep, that great, Dragon Age.
Great game. And BioWare, I love you. But just don't let other people take your balls away is what I'm trying to get to.
Don't let them kick them into you so that you have a vagina. No offense to vaginas.
Yes, we have nothing against vaginas. But
we endorse vaginas, but still. If you have balls, keep your balls.
Now, I know, Panda, that you've been watching some Shugo Chara.
I have been. Finally, I'm up into the 80s. I'm almost into the 100s, which is really, really, really good. Since my second video up on YouTube, I've kind of gone back to watching some anime, which is really kind of nice and refreshing, you know, seeing how I haven't really watched much of anything lately. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'm a little confundled about one of the characters, and I know I'm going to watch it and eventually see it, but I gotta know now.
Okay. Well, I've actually finished it. Because
so,
I felt really out of the conversation that you and our guest host, Pyro Girl, were having, so I wanted to brush up on it, and I made myself watch all of it.
Hey.
Yeah, 120-something episodes, dude. I love it.
I seriously love it. And do you understand what we were trying to convey?
Yes, and no. I don't agree. But now I can say I've watched it, so now I have an informed opinion.
All right, well then, anyway, what I'm confundled about is Nishiko's, you know, the girl, or quote-unquote girl, who's actually a boy and goes away, comes back, and is now himself, and now has two eggs, a pink egg and a blue egg.
Yes.
And neither of them hatch, so he doesn't have a Chara. And he's kind of, you know, he's starting to get a little worried about how he doesn't know what the blue egg is going to be, and he, you know, he misses his pink egg, and he really doesn't do much besides just be a, you know, Jack chair, because he does assume the Jack's position. Anyway, I just want to know, what does the blue egg turn into? I want to know now before I actually see it.
Are you sure?
I do. Spoil away.
All right. I'll take over the role of spoiler-licious. It's a boy.
Well, duh. It's a blue egg. I know, but what is, like...
It's a little boy. It's a little ruffian. He wears little shorts and little Timbos. They're so cute. And a little knit hat and a vest. And he's got a deep navy blue shirt and a blue vest to go through
but
blue shorts.
But, like, so his dream is to be a boy.
Well, here's the thing. He's got two eggs.
Well, yeah, I know.
So, very much
the
like...
His name is Tamare, and she was, like, you know, a dancer.
Right, a girl.
Yeah, but a dancer. She did Chinese dance. Yes.
Okay. And so, very much like Amu, he, at different points in his life, wanted to be different things. So there was a point in time when he was learning all the dance and how to be presented like a girl and that kind of stuff that he just desperately just wanted to be allowed to be a boy. And that's where the blue egg comes from. But then he, you know, grew to accept and actually enjoy the female stuff. And that's why he has the pink egg. And so when he got to the crossroads and wasn't really sure which one he wanted to be, the pink egg, just like the gold egg that Amu has, goes away.
The diamond egg.
Right. Diamond. Okay. And so there eventually comes a time where he accepts being a boy. And so the blue egg hatches and comes out. And so he does, you know, the boy thing and rugged and still fights for a little bit and kind of goes off. And then there's the big end battle. And he gets called out by that fortune teller that's on the TV.
Yes.
Okay. And it was like, hey, you know, the last time I saw you, you were a girl. What's up with that? And so he kind of starts explaining and goes, and the fortune teller just goes, you just need to accept who you are, and it doesn't matter about anything else. But if you're not true to yourself.
Well, wait, does he ever like, break it to Amo that it's him?
Yes.
Okay.
Because in the last battle, when he shows up again and is fighting, Amo looks up and sees her and is like, okay, wow. And they're like, they got stuff to do. She's like, okay. And then they go off. So, yes, she does eventually learn.
All right, so there's no, I have to tell you something. Because there's a couple times where, I can't remember which episode it was, but there was a question mark char that made people just blurt out whatever they were hiding.
Yes.
And he almost came out.
Yes.
And I thought eventually he'd be like, look, before we get serious or before the big battle happens, I need to be honest about something with you.
Yeah, it happens before the big battle, so.
Okay, all right, never mind.
Yes, but it's very, very saccharine.
I think that's weird.
It
is weird to be a boy dressing like a girl, being in love with a girl, and then trying to learn to be a boy again, but then accepting that you want to dress like a girl.
Wait.
Weird.
We're
I don't
talking
know
about like anime it. Here. Okay, we're talking about anime where you get fucked by tentacle beings, incest is rampant, and is supposed to be okay and
love. Don't forget the pedophilia.
Pedophilia, cat boys, cat girls, and, you know, mystical beings that for whatever reason can only exist when things fuck them. But cross-dressing is the line for you?
I think it's fucked up.
Oh my god! Wait.
No,
I know. All the things that we just mentioned right here and now, the one that's fucked up to you, not the incest, not the pedophilia, cross-dressing.
No, it's just, okay, well, maybe I'm not explaining this right. I don't know. I just think it's weird that he goes through that whole first season being a girl and, you know, becoming friends with Amu and then, you know, doing that whole episode where he was a guy and he was like, I really want, you know, like, I love you and, you know, when I come back, I'll be in a different form and hopefully you'll be able to accept me there. And then he never even, brings it back up. And then he's conflicted about really being a boy or going back to being the girl. I don't like that type of tension. You saw the episode where, you know, he finally shows himself as himself that one day before he goes. I mean, it was so romantic, and I thought he'd come back and be, like, charismatic and romantic and was going to, like, whisk her off her feet. And he does nothing, and then he's, you know, it's just weird. I don't like it. I don't like it.
You don't like that he didn't come back and stay a boy and fuck her.
Well, no one's fucking anyone in this.
Right, because they're children and it's an anime.
No, but I don't like that. I think, like, he peaked too soon and he, no. And he pussied out. And I guess that makes sense because he feels like he wants to be more like a girl anyway. But,
we gotta table this conversation because
it hurts. It hurts my brain. I can understand tentacle rape. and I can wrap my head around incest,
really,
and minor pedophilia.
The one that's weird, and I just can't understand.
It's mostly animes that I've watched. I've seen a lot of tentacle rape, pedophilia, and incest, so that's more common. I mean, there's a lot of, you know,
cross-dressing confusion that you just don't get, though.
I don't get. Well, usually because most of the people who are cross-dressing are very comfortable in that. Like, I mean, if I go back to Fushigi with Noriko, for the first half of the season, Noriko dresses like a woman. And for most of it, you don't really, well, I mean, up until episode 6, eventually you figure out he's a man, but he still dresses like a woman. So you know that he just thinks he's prettier that way.
Uh-huh.
But then in the whole second season, when he finally realizes that, you know, well, I shouldn't say he doesn't, he knows that he's the man anyway, but he starts feeling more like a man and he transitions into a man and feels more comfortable. So, I mean, he's not teetering between both. he found himself comfortable in both and then chose one, and that's it.
So this character just feels comfortable as both.
Well, Noriko will, in the second season...
eventually, feels comfortable as both.
Well, in the first season, he dressed nothing but, you know, he only dressed as a woman. And in the second season, I think he cuts his hair because he realizes that Hotohori, who's the king, who's also very pretty, kind of looks like a woman, doesn't love him and will never love him because he loves, you know, Miyaka. You know,
abandons that. We can talk about the Shikiyuhi another time.
But I'm just saying that in the first season, he dressed like a girl, he acted like a girl, but we all knew he was a dude.
Right.
The second season, he abandoned that and accepted that he was a dude and then died. So, I mean, he chose...
Okay, and what I'm saying is this character in Shugochara for the first season dressed like a girl, and everyone thought it was a girl, and then at the end of that, it was like, but I'm a boy.
No, didn't even come out and admit to everybody, except, I mean, Tadase already knew. But still, but he wasn't open about it. Like, in Fushigi straight away that Noriko is a dude.
Right, but this whole thing about this character is just like Amu being split between two desires.
Well, three or four.
Right, is split between two desires. Yeah. Okay, so this is the first anime character that you've had that hasn't really known what they want to be yet because they're a kid. And
if you're a man enough to tuck your junk and wear a skirt, then you better.
Oh my God, this is a conversation for another podcast. We're not talking about tucking.
Well, that's what he did.
Anyway, we're going to move on.
You know he did.
If you want to continue this, you can check out some of the things that we've written, and we'll definitely be talking about on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing each week on Wednesday evenings, I think, unless they moved us to Monday. I don't know. I'm not paying much attention over there as far as where we are in the lineup. But if we're where we're supposed to be, kind of. We're still at Wednesdays at 8:30 Eastern time, which works out to be 5:30 Pacific time, or we're on at Mondays at 11 p.m. Eastern time, which works out to be 8 p.m. Pacific. So it's one of those. I'm not sure, but you could tell me. But while you're going over to the All Games Radio Network to listen to our show over there, make sure that you're checking out some of the really great entertaining shows that are over there while you're waiting for us, getting through the day. Shows like Fantastic Forum.
And Dead Pixel Live is still a really good popular favorite.
There's also In-Game Chat.
There's Gametopius and
Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Friday Night Gaming, pretty awesome.
Chatterbox Radio. OLR. The podcast.
Platform Nation.
There you go. I mean, there's all kinds of great stuff that's over there. So make sure that you're nerding yourself out and getting some really, really fun laughter in and maybe learning a thing or two while over at the All Games Radio Network. You can also listen to some of the other shows coming out of the ESH camp, like the Boston Bash Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck. Their website's bostonbashbrigade.com. Their new episodes go out on every Tuesday. And then there's also Geek Agra, hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. Those episodes go out every Wednesday. And then to finish out your geek, you could check out the things that we're writing on those various websites, as well as our Twitter accounts. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm twitter.com/LadyEsh.
There's twitter.com/King_Baby_Duck, twitter.com/DeucesWild, and twitter.com/ViciousSmith. So on top of all of that, if you want to engage with us, we've got some new modes for you to do that with us as well. You can check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElectricSisterhood. There's also our Flickr account, flickr.com/ElectricSisterhood. YouTube's for videos. The Flickr account is where we're going to put all of our images of random things that we're doing, playing, and events that we're going to. So make sure that you check that out around event time, as well as the Facebook page. And as soon as we get enough fans, we can claim our URL. So help us claim our name on Facebook and join the group. Pandalicious is running it, so you can ask her all the questions that you can't ask her on the website. Tee hee.
Oh, and if you have any suggestions for a new video, by all means, send the emails. I like options.
Yep, you can hit us up, questions@esh.mobi. We check it, we listen to it, we write back, and we answer them on the show. So with that, do you have anything to disclose, Panda?
I just have to disclose that Dragon Age is racist.
Wow.
No, and it's even in a more confused sense, only because of the fact that to be queen or to, you know, be king or queen, depending on what gender you are, you have to be human and noble. You can't be a dwarf noble, and you certainly couldn't be an elf. The game has this thing about elves, and I'm very upset because my elf is very pretty, and Alistair dumped me, and I'm actually really sad about that.
You can be okay?
No.
All right. Sorry.
Do you have anything to disclose?
Mexican Coke is delicious, and it's not really nutritious, but I just can't stay off this stuff.
You're on crack?
No, Mexican Coca-Cola.
Oh, okay. Well,
not Mexican Coke.
You said
not what? Not Coke.
Wait a minute. The cocaine?
No, not the cocaine. No, Mexican Coca-Cola, silly. Okay. Drugs are bad, and we do not endorse those.
No, we do not.
Not in the least. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here.
Bye!
Just say no to illegal drugs.
No.
So guess what we got for you now?
Clips!
That's right, some more of the interviews from CES.
Rack 'em up!
Mark Yang, a developer over at HyperMax. Is it HyperMax? Over at HyperMax?
Yes.
And this clip is where he was talking about the new internal battery backup for iPods and iPhones.
For the CES show, we came out with three mini batteries. Well, our flagship product is called HyperMac. It's actually used for design for MacBook. But for the CES, we did come out with a mini battery for iPhone and iPods. And they come with three different capacities. So the smallest one, it looks like a cigarette lighter. Mm-hmm. And it has eight different colors to match all the iPod colors. So it's really cute, really, your user can't see it, but it's really interesting. You can see it. It's over there. Yeah. And the capacity of the smallest, which we call it the Nano, HyperMac Nano, will charge your iPhone twice. And one step up will charge your iPhone four times. So it's plenty of power for your user to play, you know, any type of game on the iPhone until they pass out. The retail price, which we are setting at for the three capacity, goes for $40, $60, and $80. Mm-hmm. More specific is $39.95, $59.95, and $79.95. And this thing will be available within a month on our website, hypermac.com.
So who doesn't want more battery life?
Especially if you have a Mac or an iPod or an iPhone and you travel at all. I mean, seriously. I have a battery backup for my iPhone. I got one from InCase, and it makes my phone really bulky, but it makes it easier for me to do five-hour flights across country from when I do events because it allows me to get through three movies and a couple of playlists, which pretty much take me where I need to go. But what was really interesting about the HyperMac stuff is how stylish it really was. Okay, Mr. Yang isn't kidding when he says the one that they made for the Nanos come in matching colors for each of the current rounded Nanos that Apple puts out and also are adorable. Like one of them, he's not kidding, it looks like a long Zippo lighter.
And we know those pyros out there are big fans of the Zippos.
Any dude or any chick that's carrying one of these devices would not mind carrying the HyperMac thing as an extension of it. And if you've ever been any place where you've been working on a project and your Mac has put itself into hard sleep because you ran it out of battery and it won't wake up until you plug it into power, now you can just reach into your bag and get a battery backup that you've got that can at least let you get back in and either email it to where it needs to go to or at least save it so it doesn't die, and you can shut down your computer safely. So I love that idea.
and hopefully we'll be able to get our hands on them to actually review them and see if we can get the charge times out of the devices that HyperMac promises us. But I do want to thank Mr. Yang for stopping by, you know, the hood, and talking to us about their new stuff. And hopefully we'll have some things to check out here pretty soon. I will disclose that I own Apple stock, though. So, buy an iPhone.
I'll disclose that Ninja owns Apple stock.
And Apple products.
Oh, I'll disclose I own Apple products.
Lots of Apple products.
Evermore comes at us again, talking to Chris Arbogast from Nyko about their new controller for the Wii, as well as their new headphones for the Xbox 360.
I like headphones.
OnePlus is our latest alternative to the Wii Remote. And so it has all the same functionality that our existing Wand does. So it has IR sensor for pointer functionality, built-in accelerometer for motion-based control, as well as a speaker for sound and vibration motors. It still has the transport technology that our existing Wand does, which is a patented technology that allows us to digitally export the button functionality as well as rumble and sound to outside compatible devices. But the really neat and kind of innovation feature about this one is our full motion technology, which essentially is like integrating a Wii Motion Plus dongle into the remote itself. And so ours has one-to-one motion tracking built right in, so no need for an external dongle or an extended sleeve or anything like that. And this is fully compatible with all Wii Motion Plus compatible games. And this will be retailing for $39.99 and should be out shipping in March to stores. Well, the SpeakerTom is our latest headset alternative for Xbox Live, and it plugs into the base of the controller just like a normal headset does. But you'll notice up top, instead of a single earpiece or kind of over the head band of a normal headset, like a speakerphone mic combination, ours has earbuds. So just like normal earbuds that you would use as headphones, you know, for your iPod or anything like that, you just put that in each ear, and then hanging around down from the earbuds in a V shape at the base of them is a speaker box. And on the back of that box is a toggle switch. So you can use the earbuds just like you would a headset. So that means stereo sound instead of mono like you get with a normal headset. And then you speak into the microphone, which is on one of the earphone cords. But the speaker box that hangs around your neck, that when you flip to speaker mode, you then hear everything out loud instead of through the earbuds themselves. And the earbuds are magnetic, so you take them out of your ears, clasp them behind your neck, and they stick together. And you wear the speaker comm around your neck, just like a necklace, and you can talk out loud. It picks up all your voice, and then you can hear everything else out loud, which is great for if you have a group of friends all on a couch in the living room together, as guests on your Xbox Live account. Normally, only the person with the headset would be able to hear and communicate with other people on Xbox Live. This way, everyone in the room can kind of hear what's going on as for the chatter of other online players. At the base where it plugs into the controller is also a dedicated mute button, so you can either press this down for a short burst of mute, or you can lock it into place so that you can have extended mute in case you're talking to someone else. But yeah, SpeakerCom for Xbox 360 is $19.99 and will also be shipping in March as well.
Now, see, I like the idea of earbuds for your 360, but as we already know, walking in, that not all earbuds are going to be a perfect fit straight away out of the box. So hopefully they'll offer inserts, ear inserts, with these headphones.
Well, as any company knows, when you're doing an earbud, you've got to have tips because not all ears are created equally, like you said. So I'd be really surprised if they didn't have one. But what I'm really interested in is how the speaker box will actually work, what its quality is like, you know, in gameplay for when you do have people over that are either guesting on your account or just, you know, participating by watching what you're doing, but still being able to hear who you're talking to on the other side. I mean, can you imagine being able to have a party going where you're watching Netflix and have both your friends on Xbox Live as well as your friends in the room be able to talk to each other on top of the movie?
Yeah, but then what if your mom walks in and she's like, "The dog's gotta go out!"
Then you just laugh and everybody goes,
"The dog has to go out!"
And then everybody laughs and goes, "Oh, esh, mom."
Because, you know, that happens all the time, and I'm not fast enough with that mute button, so I actually kind of like the idea of this mute button being a fast action kind of thing, because, you know, I can't catch her all the time. And then I have to go, yeah, that was my mom.
Like, you know, quick fix for that is get your own place. But I'm just saying, just like I'm saying, thanks, Chris, for stopping by and talking with us about the new stuff from Nyko. We're looking forward, especially, to the Xbox headphones. The Wii controller, I don't play my Wii enough to really.
Nyko is still really awesome, but yes, we are not that interested.
In the Wii.
In this next clip, we're hearing from Evermore again, and he talked to a woman named Kristen at the Microsoft booth about, you guessed it, the game room for Xbox Live.
Game room!
I am here at CES to demo game room. We announced it 2 days ago in the keynote. It is a new gaming destination. It's coming out on our Xbox Live and also our Games for Windows Live PC platform. It's going to offer up a huge, robust library of kind of all those old-school retro titles back from the 80s. Think about games like Centipede, Millipede, Astro Smash. So those titles that really kind of kicked off the era of gaming, we are resurfacing and bringing them back up to the front. So this is an example of Game Room. It's meant to, the user interface is meant to kind of replicate the whole look and feel to the sounds of an actual arcade. This space is fully customizable. It's 3 floors worth. In every floor, you have gaming alcoves. You can change out the theme. You can place different games and game cabinets in this area. And let me just go into one of these gaming alcoves. When Game Room launches in the springtime of this year, we'll have a collection of 30 titles. But then every week after launch, we're going to add 7 new titles to the Game Room library. So the collection, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a very robust selection for people to choose from. So here you can see we've got games like Asteroids Deluxe, Batlantis. We've got Jungler, Red Baron. So games that you would find in the arcade or even games from old consoles like the Intellivision or the Atari 2600. This is a very kind of fun social space where you can invite anyone who's on your friends list, you can invite their avatar into this space. Your friends can wander around, take a look at all the games that you currently own, and if they're in your arcade and they see a game and they say, wow, Astro Smash, I don't have that, but I want to try it. They can try it for once for free. And they can even purchase it right then and there, which is very, very cool. Let's go into Astro Smash.
And can I also just go ahead and
so something you'll notice, our developers, they've done a really terrific job in really kind of replicating everything from the graphics to the sound effects to the music of the game that you used to play back in the 80s. So this experience would be exactly the same sort of experience if you were back, you know, playing your Atari. So after you finish each game, you earn medals, and medals are tied to achievements. So you can earn achievement points, and you can share achievements across both the PC and Xbox platform. There are shared leaderboards. Another really kind of fun, unique feature is the idea of challenges. So back in the day, when you and your friend would go into an arcade, typically you would compete for the highest score. You can do the same thing here with the titles in Game Room. You can even send a challenge. So let's say I just scored a high score on Astro Smash. I can send a challenge to a friend saying, hey, I just got the score. I want to see you beat it. So it's kind of like, you know, throwing down. So yeah, it's very fun. Like I said, coming out in spring of this year. And definitely keep an eye out for it.
I knew as soon as you came back from CES that I was going to want to talk about Game Room. And Kristen just sold it to me. Not that I wasn't already planning on banking on that. So,
yeah. If you own an Xbox 360 with, you know, like any kind of live account and, you know, like playing with people or dueling with people or played an arcade game ever in your life, I will hit you if you don't get Game Room.
She will put the hurt on you.
So thanks for talking to us, Kristen, and giving us the lowdown on Game Room for Xbox Live.
So,
oh my god, I have like way too many Xbox demo discs. I need to play some of this shit.
Yeah, or I don't know.
No, because if you play through all the demos, there's like 200 points worth of an achievement.
GamerScore things on them. Mm-hmm. And I should really do that because my GamerScore kind of sucks.
I know. My GamerScore is beefy.
Is that the size of your GamerScore is how you use it?
I do use my GamerScore for good. This is true.
I use mine for evil.
You do use yours for evil, and you need to really stop that. You're hurting little children.